Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. I was trying to read Bill's mind.
I was given hand signals.
Like, you want me to land the plane now? What are you saying? Oh, dear. That always starts off something kooky. Something kooky. Bring us back to something not kooky. So let's see. Webpage today was, as I've already confessed, kooky. Had the wrong date on it. It said January, because that was the last day we spoke with our guest. But today's really September 8th, 2024.
That's correct.
And the archive will be posted correctly at wethepeopleradio.us with no commercials. And it is free to access, listen to, and share. You can do whatever you like with it. Archives go back, I keep saying 14 years, but is that real? Is it 14 years now?
Yeah,
it's like 14 years.
I don't want to admit to that.
14 years in October.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of archives on a lot of topics. Tabs on the top, like shows that we've done, enough stuff that really we had to kind of cluster the shows so it'd be easier to find, are on marijuana, China, environmental stuff, government and national security, veterans, South Africa. We just spoke with our friend Harry Booyans last week. Get an update on South Africa. Did a whole ton of shows on Islam. Super interesting. And if that's a topic that interests you at all, or you kind of think you know about it, you might want to take a listen. We've had some really interesting people on there giving us a lot of intel. Dr. Peter Pry, who is no longer with us, but we left his shows on the tab up top because he was the head of the Congressional EMP Commission, a really smart guy, very, very interesting. We did a bunch of shows. And, of course, our friend in Arizona, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. So, for the people who listen on a regular basis, if you'd like to kind of listen back on some of your people that we have on frequently, that's the best way to do it. And
yeah, send them over there.
And we have a tab for, it's got little stars around it, the transgender issue, because
yeah,
that's today.
Yeah.
So, save the best for last. Tell us about our sponsor, Bill, and then we'll get to our guest chair.
Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And they have everything you want when it comes to John Deere products. They have Ryder mowers, they have tractors, implements, they have a whole line of electric yard care products, handhelds, riders, all electric. And go up and see them. They're very knowledgeable, and they can get you fixed up with just about whatever you need. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at Pape Machinery. That's PAPEMachinery.com.
In case you're from out of town.
Yeah, in case you're from out of town or not within the five western states, because that's kind of where they occupy. Yeah, they have
heavy on the occupy, huh?
Well, yeah, they're a pretty large company. They have I think 55 ag and turf stores throughout the five western states, Alaska and Hawaii, and I think all together with their Kenworth stores and heavy equipment stores, they're up over 150, 160 locations. So
nice.
You're not very far from a Pape Machinery. Just go up and see them, and they can get you fixed up.
Cool. Well, they're probably doing better than some of our fast food outfits.
Man, isn't that the truth?
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Who would have thought you'd see a McDonald's close?
Yeah. Can't make any money.
In a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Like up in Bernie.
Yeah.
The McDonald's
closed.
Oh,
they closed up there,
they
huh?
They closed.
Oh, wow.
Somebody stuck a sign in the window that said Taco Bell coming soon, but as we all noticed, the sign was on the outside of the window. So if it was really coming, it would be on the inside of the window.
Yeah.
So we figured that was a rumor. Anyway, kind of interesting. I don't know if it means people are eating more healthy. I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean that. It just means nobody has any money.
Yeah, I don't think Taco Bell's going to be a great alternative anyway, because I did swing into a Taco Bell here about 3 weeks ago on my way back from Oregon. I just wanted a taco and hit the road, and
$45.
Two tacos and I got something else. I didn't even get a drink, and it was $16. I thought, wow, I think I'll be making my own tacos.
But, you know, I just heard on the news this morning that, you know, Kamala Harris is touting the environment. Well, that too. But the economy.
Oh, the economy's doing great.
Doing so well.
Yeah, job markets are up. I mean, everything is swell.
So we're obviously stupid and going to the wrong places. But
yeah, we must not.
Living in rural America.
We're in a different universe.
We're being punished.
Yeah.
So Sharon does not live in rural America, so maybe she can give some insight into her fast food pricing model down there or something. But
oh, wait, yeah, no. I am not in rural America, but I am in I'm in Smallville, right? I'm in Santa Barbara, and yeah, everything here is ridiculous. So I haven't eaten fast food for probably a decade, so I really can't.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I try to stay away from it.
Not my thing either. I'm going to take away Bill's wallet so he can't go anymore. But he's got the debit card. The bank forgot to send me mine, so we have to have a negotiated truce. I've got some cash, and Bill's got a debit card. And between us, we can go to.
Well, it's a good thing, too. We went to the grocery store yesterday. I forgot my wallet. She goes, oh, I need your debit card at the check stand.
At the check stand.
It's like, I don't have my wallet.
We almost had to become those people.
Yeah. Can you put all this back?
Can you put all our stuff back? Didn't have to. Yay. But, yeah, nothing like going to the grocery on the 1st and then realize your debit card expired in August, the day prior. And and who looks at their debit card expiration date? Everybody run to your wallet right now. but normally the bank can just print them for you, but it turns out their machine's broken. I'm like, really? I don't know. We're lucky that you're here and we're here, you know, because I just don't seem to be able to get there from where I am these days. Hey, so we should tell people about you, because we have not had you on since the webpage told everybody January something 2024 this year. So
that ago? I can't believe it.
I know.
Yeah,
it seems January. It seems wrong. I've replayed the show since, but still. So let's see. Our friend Sharon Byrne is a nonprofit and government relations expert with over 2 decades of advocacy experience, leadership experience. She brings to Wolf, which is the Women's Liberation Front, because we do talk about actual real wolves, the furry kind. So this is different. This is the Women's Liberation Front Wolf. Vital community building experience and connections, currently serves as the president of the Santa Barbara United Nations Association, served as a delegate to the UN Conference on the Status of Women and the Generation Equality Forums. We never asked you about that. I'm kind of curious about that. Sharon's an author of multiple published articles on women's rights, including an op-ed in The Independent, revealing the insidious presence of human trafficking in Santa Barbara. That's a pretty small place for that. Also serves on the board of the Santa Barbara Women's Health Coalition and has been a vocal advocate for women's reproductive sovereignty. She was awarded the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office Exceptional Civilian Award. Yay, Sharon. In 2023 for her work with the Montecito Association in reducing gang violence, preventing human trafficking, pioneering a model to end homelessness in the county. Please, if you ever figure that out, could you please
come on up.
Make that really popular, mm-hmm. Make that really, like, good God. She holds a master's degree in psychology, so she has already assessed Bill and I and found us wanting and decided
this is just my radio persona. It's not really me.
Yeah, this is our fake, not even our real names.
Please don't judge me.
She has a bachelor's degree in management and economics, so she knows what's going on there. A certificate in human rights consulting from the International Institute for Human Rights, and she joined Wolf as the executive director in 2023. She is a friend of one of our folks from up at Copco Lake. Lest we bring up the unpleasantness of the horrible tragedy that is the Klamath Dam removal, and said, hey, you should talk to my friend Sharon. And I'm thinking, oh no, she's one of those kooky feminists from the 60s. I don't want to do that. And then she's like, no, she's not one of those. That's not what they do. I was like, oh, I'm such a hater. So anyway, turned out we had a whole lot in common, all of us. And for those of you who've never heard Sharon, we'll tell you at some point in the show. We'll give you the TERF, what is it, like criteria or assessment. You can find out if you're a part of the TERFing. My people up in Siskiyou County are still laughing when you came on with them in, on Skype. They're, every time I run into somebody from that meeting, they're like, I'm still in the turfing.
That was the most hilarious thing to hear all those men on that call go, damn it, I'm a Turk. I loved it. It was brilliant.
It was hilarious. They had such a good time. Everybody still talks about him like you made a real impression. So,
you know, we hear that Mother Nature is a TERF as well, and we also hear that karma is a TERF. So TERF are powerful, man. Don't mess with them.
Don't mess with them. Well, they're running the world a little. So they're, what are they, trans-exclusionary radical feminists?
That's right.
Yes. Finally got it. I was so bad at that. So it's TERF, trans-exclusionary radical feminists. So before I give people the... you know, the uneducated version of that, or what I think it is. Tell people, so in case somebody's like, wait, I got to get out of the car. What is it?
It is typically used as a slur, but of course we feminists have turned around and turned it into a badge of honor, right? That if you're called all good slurs, right? Like all good slurs, right? We turned it around and made it into our own personal badge of honor. And of course the British women took it and went a little further with it, that the plural of TERF is the turban. Right? So there's a lot of turban running around in the UK. In fact, a lot of them in the Anglosphere, period. But what is a radical feminist? A radical feminist is a woman who believes that we must abolish certain things in order for women to achieve full self-sovereignty. You would say, well, you don't have self-sovereignty today? We kind of did, but we were standing on some super thin ice and we didn't realize it. And I see that you've got part of it on your show today, which is Title IX, that women are not defined in the Constitution. With full rights, right? That where we are mentioned is the 19th, which is giving women the right to vote. But a lot of other ways, the laws that have given women rights are being very much eroded under our feet. Radical feminists started raising hell about this and have been ever since. But radical meaning not crazy, wild, chaotic, none of that. Radical meaning the root, you know, the very base, the most essential bit of feminism. So, yes, a lot of the men that were in the show that we did last time were a little shocked to find themselves being radical feminists. But at the end of the day, they agreed that, you know, humans cannot change sex. We are not born in the wrong body. That, you know, that women should be able to walk around with free rights, right, and be able to have self-sovereignty. It was a very surprising moment when people discovered that they are radical feminists. They usually get backed into it. And one of the things radical feminists really hate is violence against women in all forms, right? So actually we really can't stand the way porn has gotten so rapey and violent and full of human trafficking. Obviously we'd hate human trafficking. We don't like the idea of surrogacy and, you know, basically farming women's bodies, you know, for money. So that's kind of what a radical feminist is. And the reason that they are TERF and trans exclusionary is because radical feminists do not believe that men who throw on a dress and declare themselves women are truly female. We just don't buy it. Nope. And I think a lot of men agree too, you know, that they're not. And so when people, way back in the day, and I think, Aaron, you and I had a conversation about this, you know, most people were familiar with the term transvestite. Some people were even familiar with the term transsexual.
What's the difference? Is there one?
There is actually. Don't laugh when I tell you this, but I actually gave a speech on this at Georgia Tech as a sophomore back in the 90s for my public speaking class. My congressional rep at that time was John Lewis, and he was proposing a bill that would make it so that you could not be fired for sexual orientation, and for some reason he added, or being transvestite or being transsexual. So I had to go look those up because I didn't know what they meant. So transvestite is always a male that enjoys fetish dressing in women's clothes, that he is really turned on by the idea of himself as a woman, and that he likes all the most horrible parts of womanhood that women don't like being objectified, raped, all of that, right? That turns a transvestite on. So are drag queens transvestites? Yeah, that's kind of how we knew them. And then the transsexual is a person, almost always, again, male, one or two sort of historic females, but almost always male. And a transsexual is a person that believes that they are actually meant to be the other sex, that they are not just turned on by it. They actually need to have the full-on experience. So they will often go on cross-sex hormones. So if you're male, you're going to be taking estrogen. They will have serious surgeries that are all plastic surgeries, basically, but that will remove the penis, invert it, turn it into a vagina, They will try to get rid of all their hair, right, their facial hair and body hair. Some have facial feminization surgery. Some get breast implants. So this is a person who goes to great extremes in surgeries and hormones to try to live as the other sex. But at the end of the day, they still will not sprout ovaries, right? That's not going to happen. They're not going to sprout a cervix. They're not going to have female anatomy. It's just not going to happen. And there are a lot of scientists who think your sex is down to the genetic DNA level, that you can't just plastic surgery it into something else. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't change that person. So I didn't know what those terms meant, but then when I gave that speech on at Georgia Tech on this law that John Lewis was looking to pass to make it illegal for you to fire someone because of either their sexual orientation or because they have transvestism or they have, you know, or are transsexual. So those are the terms that we used to know. And then I guess in the 90s and early 2000s, this whole transgenderism thing came out, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and you were the one that pointed out that gender descends from the Latin word genus, which is kind, of a kind, you know, of a group, you know, that's what it means. And it's been commonly used by the UN and others. Gender has been used to basically replace sex. I think they think of it as a much more polite way of saying sex, right? And so, you know, the UN uses, like, gender-based violence, right? For example, and what they mean is violence against women and girls.
But I don't know if they mean that anymore. Because that all seems to be okay.
Mm-hmm. I know. It is, but typically in diplomatic circles, government circles outside the United States, that is what gender is. They use gender, I guess, because they think it's less scary than sex, maybe, or less pejorative.
Well, see, I always figured that they morphed it. It was an easy morph because, you know, we're the descendants of Puritans, so we don't like to say, you know, a lot. It's easy to get rid of words in the popular speech or in common speech. You know, saying the word sex was salacious. So it sort of morphed into this gender thing, and then pretty soon on all of our forms, instead of saying sex, male or female, where you check the box, then it said gender, and then people started to think they were the same word. You know,
yeah.
Just a nicer, like a less sort of racy version of the same word. But really, they mean two totally different things.
They do, and you're right, they've fallen into very much common parlance, and then of course, in academic circles, they took gender and ran away with it, that gender could mean anything. You could be any gender. There's millions of genders, you know, and somehow this is completely divorced from...
I have a staff assistant who sends us every Friday. There are 52 Fridays in a year, just in case anyone's counting. He sends us gender of the week every Friday. And I got to tell you, he keeps coming up with new ones. It's like, okay. How is that even possible? We have to take a quick break. While we're on break, I'm going to find Friday's gender of the week because I'm like, oh, come on. No one believes.
Yeah, he's not making them up either.
No, these have flags. That's what started it. It was the flags. Have their own different flags. And I'm like, you're going to run out of colors. Like, you're just going to have to run out of colors. It's silly. This can't go on forever. I will look up the most recent gender of the week because I think you'll find it funny. And our guest is Sharon Byrne. I think you're going to enjoy the whole show, actually, if you're listening, and probably want to send it to a friend along with the other shows we've done with her. You can find those at wethepeopleradio.us. There you have it.
There you go. That song is just perfect every single time. I don't know why it's so funny, but it just seems to hit the mark. And any way you want it, that's just a song. You can't really do that. I forgot to give the disclaimer. Okay, so gender of the week time. You ready for this one? All right. It's spelled E-O-S
gender. So I don't know if it's EOS or whatever, is a gender identity that is the direct opposite of ego gender. Like you knew what that was. One's gender feels so much like the people around them that it can only be defined by those people.
Oh, well, that's handy.
Other people get to choose. EOS gender is different from Voss gender. Dare you to define that. Or Miro gender, in which one's gender changes to mirror those of the people around them. Those are all different.
Oh.
2 more weeks coming. I'll get to find out what those are in a couple
Now, that one could be interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So, I don't know. Sharon, do you should do a book on that.
That's hilarious, and it's so disempowering. I mean, why would you give up your agency like that? Why would you ever say, everyone else has the right to defend me, I can't even define myself,
but
I mean, I'm so confused.
The idea that you're at the DMV or whatever, and you've got to, you know, you need to fill in the blank. Hold on. Let, you know, group think.
Yeah, but most of your government forms, I think, are very, very biased because they say gender, male or female. Hey, where's the rest of them? I mean, don't they have to change their forms?
What about everybody else?
Yeah.
They should make them put the flag on there because this one's super ugly. It's like a peach stripe, a black stripe, and then kind of a heinous tangerine stripe.
Oh, yeah, we'll know what that is when we
down,
see it.
They're down to all the ugly colors now.
No, I moved from Atlanta to Dallas, right? I had to go to the Dallas DMV, right, the Texas DMV, to get a Texas driver's license. So there's this big trooper sitting at this desk with one of those 10-gallon hats on, because they always have hats on in Texas. And he looks at me and he says, ma'am, I'm going to need you to surrender that Georgia license. And I was like, surrender? Can't I just, that's kind of harsh language, dude. Can't I just, like, hand it over or just get it?
Surrender? That's totally something I would do.
Right? I'm like, I just feel so criminal. And so, you know, he laughed and he said, just to hand it over. And so I did. And then he took it. And, you know, I went through the line to get the license. But now I'm thinking about this, of like, you go to the DMV and you're confused about your gender, and that's the guy you run into.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I'm definitely a Texas, ranger with a cowboy hat. That's my gender, right? Like, I cannot imagine giving up my agency like that. I just couldn't do it.
But, I mean, it's just silly. And gender is a social construct anyway. So it's not about your body parts. It's not about biology. Sex is about biology. That's a chromosomal definition.
Exactly. Well, and that's, Aaron, there you go. You just got your rad fem graduation.
They use the C word?
Because radical feminists do believe that it is a construct, that it needs to be abolished. And what they mean is, we don't want to be limited by it. You know, don't tell me I got to do something because I'm a woman, or I can't do something because I'm a woman. I want to get rid of that, right? And at first, we kind of sound like the genderists. We kind of sound like those transy people, because they're like, yeah, we want to get rid of, you know, we don't want to be limited, you know, by gender, too. But this is where we part ways, because the way that they then carry out gender is the most bigoted, off aspect. It's like they amplify and distort the aspects of the opposite sex that they're trying to become. It's like, oh, my God, even the people that are that sex aren't like that. You know, and the drag queen example is really relevant. A lot of women feel very mocked, you know, by drag queens, very like you're taking all the worst parts of women and amplifying them, distorting them, and, you know, making us look like crazy creatures, right? That a lot of rad femmes have a lot of problems with that sort of thing. And you can see why, because it's like you're taking the stereotypical aspects of them and making them much more amplified. Why would we want to do that? You know, why would that be good? So you've just graduated, dear. I'm going to send you your rad femme three cards.
Well, I just want you to know that if you want to add a yellow stripe to the ugly flag I just described earlier, you could be bond fluid. That's a gender identity where one's gender changes as they form loose bonds and relationships. I'm not sure what the difference between loose bonds and relationships. I'm not sure how they're in the same sentence, because those are really different.
So,
it's a subset of, oh yeah, you guessed it, gender fluid.
Yeah. So, so you could say, you know, you're just not the same as you were when we met
exactly.
yesterday.
Right, because you're better friends now.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday you seemed a little different.
See, your parents were right. Our parents were right the whole time. They said, you know, you become like the people you hang out with.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
You are the subset of your 5 closest friends. It was really all about gender training, and it was some secret backdoor gender training that parents were doing that they learned and weren't allowed to talk about. That's my theory.
Huh.
My parents are gone. I can't verify that. And they'll never know I said it out loud in public.
My mom's in the next room, and she always worried about that.
Okay, well, there you go. You can go check now. Yeah, it just this whole thing has just gotten ridiculous, but in all... this is, seems kind of out of character, but in all seriousness, not, you know, the what this has led to, not just, I mean, most people are following the Title IX problems, you know, with especially like the Olympics, you know, you have some poor girl getting clubbed by a giant man pretending to be a girl. You have that kind of thing, which I just don't know anybody who thinks that that's okay.
Well, apparently the Olympic Committee thought it was okay when they let men do women's boxing. And, gosh, they both won gold medals.
Huh.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the weightlifting. I like that.
Yeah, really.
How do you feel good about that?
I think that woke a lot of people up, actually. I think a lot of people were really shocked by that. And it's, you know, there's, I think you know, a main cook. Is it a main? Yeah. She went back to, or he went back to Algeria, and the explanation that came out was, well, something is different about this person for sure, because they went up, their family went up in the mountains, and then they changed. I was like, you can go up a mountain and come down as the opposite sex? Who knows?
Like,
yikes.
Anybody hikers? Like, oh my God.
Yikes.
What happens in the Algerian mountains exactly? I'm dying to know.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, what? I need to know the altitude where that is. We should have warning labels.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been hiking and camping my whole life. Like, I never knew. So I could go up a mountain and come down as a man? God, why didn't somebody tell me? So, yeah, that was a crazy one. In the Taiwanese boxer, same exact thing, yeah. And, you know, women in this country and in a lot of countries have been really griping about this and saying, you know, at first it looks like confused boys, you know, want to be on our sports teams, and how come we have to let them? And I keep watching it, you know, in reverse and wondering, so where are all the women screaming to get in the boxing ring, you know, with the men? Where are the women looking to take
Yeah, exactly.
Where's that, you know, or trying to get into World Cup soccer, right? Where are the women, you know, crowding onto the men's team in World Cup soccer? It's not happening, right? It's a one-way street. And it really, one of the problems that feminists have and why they got so very involved in this whole transgenderism thing is because the way that it's being carried out is to absolutely erode and destroy women's rights. And I will tell you, as an international human rights consultant, never in the history of human rights have we done this. Never.
No.
We have never done it this way. We have never taken, in order to grant some people some rights, we have never taken rights away from another group. Right? We just don't, that is not how we do human rights. It does not work like that. So the fact that it is working like that now, that, you know, in order to accommodate trans rights, well, women just have to chuck it. Give up your sports, give up your bathroom, give up your job, because, you know, they can always hire a guy in a dress for your woman job, right? So, like, you have to just chuck it. And I think it's BS. It's total BS. That's not how we do human rights. So something's very wrong with this movement in the way that it seeks to colonize women's rights for itself. Something's very wrong in it, and a lot of women are very upset about that.
Well, the violence aspect, I think, well, I know, becomes just not discussed, because that's a super inconvenient truth.
Yeah, so let's talk about that violence aspect, right? So here in California, we have a law, Senate Bill 132, that Scott Wiener from San Francisco, and he is the devil, he passed that law in 2020, and Governor Newsom signed it, and I can't believe it. And basically, that law says, oh, if you identify as a woman and you're serving your time in the man's prison, why, you can transfer right on over to the ladies' prison. And the state has now transferred tons of men into the women's prison. And this January, one of those guys, a very big, tall guy named Tremaine Carroll, full beard and everything, raped two women in the women's prison in Chowchilla, California, this January. And he is now standing trial in Madera County. The district attorney there is Sally Marino, and she told me she's got a solidly provable case. So I went to the first trial, you know, like a preliminary hearing, and yeah, they do have a case. They really do. And he is raping women in the women's prison. So that is how crazy we've gone with this, where, and let me ask you this, you know, what MA guy sitting in the prison, you know, at San Quentin or whatever, isn't going to go, wait, all I have to do is tell you I feel like a woman and I can go over the women's prison?
Exactly.
Really? Like, who's not going to jump at that, right? So there's like 400 guys lined up to transfer over. 400. And the women's facility in Chowchilla only holds 3,000, and the women's facility in Chino only holds 1,000. So you put 400 prisoners, right, males, in a population of 4,000 women, what do you think is going to happen in there?
Yeah, exactly. That's just crazy.
That's terrifying. And it, and if it's anything like, now what kind of a prison, is this a state prison or a federal prison?
So the feds do not have this law. These are state.
Yeah, because those are, I was going to say though, the federal prison up at Hurlong, I've been in there. That's a men's prison. Medium security, by the way.
You've been in a men's prison?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I've seen a Roman Gladiator movie, too.
Oh.
Just in case you were checking. Jimmy. But,
And Aaron,
yeah?
Rape and murder are state crimes, not federal crimes.
Right.
So rapists and murder go to state prisons, not federal.
We'll get this. Okay, so here you go. Medium security federal prison. What do you think the worst crime is that you would would get you into a medium security federal prison?
Something to do with RICO?
Yeah. How about chopped his family into small pieces?
Oh my God!
Thank you.
How did he end up in the federal prison though?
I don't know. I don't know where he was when he was chopping. Maybe it was a location issue. I'm not sure. But the thing that was really stunning is here you had. Well, let's see. You had they're like wings, but it's like the cell block. So like you would see on TV, that's got the little picnic tables where all the chairs are hooked on.
Yeah,
that whole thing. Okay, so all the doors have to be locked individually. They don't lock with like pull a switch and they all go. There are keys. They lock and unlock. 128 people in that section. How many guards do you think?
I don't know, 1 per 100?
How about 1 per 128?
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. And at some points...
God, how terrifying would that be if you were a guard?
Yeah, it's a little
weird.
And
there were people that violent people.
Well, they asked me, they go, well, you know, do you want to just meet with the warden or do you want to go in the prison? And I'm like, well, you're having problems. Do you work in the prison? Well, yeah, I work in the prison. And I go, well, I guess I should go in the prison, huh? And they're like, okay, here you have to sign this paper that basically says, you know, if you become a hostage, like, see ya, that kind of stuff. And it's serious. I mean, anybody who thinks that working in, I've been to Pelican Bay, too. That was a state one. Pelican Bay was, in an odd way, nicer. The federal prison was rough. There's nothing fancy about it. People think they're sitting around watching TV and playing golf. Yeah, not happening. It's gnarly. It is a gnarly place. The conditions are not great. It's like a pirate ship. The boiler was broken that day. They gave him a piece of chicken. They could only give them food that cooked in the oven. They couldn't do any of the steam plate stuff because the boiler was down. It's 100 degrees in the cafeteria, and here's your piece of chicken. I'm like, he's running a pirate ship. You could have like a mutiny. What the heck? This is terrible. An army marches on its stomach. I'm assuming a prison does too. Yeah, here's your piece of chicken. Welcome to the pirate ship. The Board of Prisons, honestly, we've done some shows about this. The Board of Prisons is just like, well, you know, they classify everyone as a prison guard. Everyone's a prison guard. So if you're the librarian, you're a prison guard. Because they're all considered correctional officers.
Are those numbers included in the one for every 128?
Yes.
That includes the librarians and the
physically,
nurses?
Physically, there's only one person in there for the 128 that are on that wing. It's just because they count everybody. It'd be like everybody in school that's over 5 feet tall is a teacher. You know, doesn't matter what. It's and so your student-teacher ratio is amazing. That's what the prisons are doing. So it's and that's a nationwide problem at the federal level. So now you're looking at the state level, I don't think it's a whole lot better, but you're looking at putting men in women's prison. The protection for an inmate, you just do the math. It's not there.
Very much so. And, you know,
women's crime stats are getting ready to plummet.
Stats are getting ready to plummet. You know, earlier this year, right as we were going to the preliminary hearing for this inmate, Tremaine Carroll, that raped the two women, the same week that we went up to Madera for that preliminary hearing, my organization, Women's Liberation Front, had sued the state for passing Senate Bill 132 and violating women's human rights, right? And we based it on 14th Amendment, right? No unreasonable, you know, arrest, seizure, et cetera. And the federal judge, because we filed in federal court, the federal judge, a woman, threw out our case and said, your fears of rape are overstated.
Wow.
While we were going to the opening trial, right?
Oh, your fears are overstated.
Your fears are overstated.
Let's absorb that. We have to take a quick break. Probably going to have to switch to decaf. Just a fair warning. I don't have a song about that, but...
That's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, if I did, I'd play it. Unbelievable. We will be right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She is the executive director for the Women's Liberation Front, commonly known as WOLF. Big W, little O, big L, big F. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I can see by your eyes you must be lying. When you think I don't have a clue, baby, you're crazy. You can fool me, because I've seen that movie too.
There was your judge's soundtrack. Okay, so tell us that again, Sharon. You go okay. into claim. Do it again.
We filed it in 2021 after Senate Bill 132 went into practice in California, went into law. And we filed on behalf of four female inmates who wanted us to do this as well, that their civil rights are being violated by being housed against their will with men, male inmates, and not being asked to give consent, any of that. And as our case wended through the federal court system in the Eastern District of California, the female judge said, you know, and she dismissed our case, and she dismissed it by, and by the way, this guy that committed these rapes was an intervener on our lawsuit with the ACLU. He was an intervener, basically saying that, you know, we have a vested interest in this case because he was one of the ones who was transferred in. Dana Rivers was also transferred in to the child facility. Dana Rivers is a man who murdered a lesbian couple and their son. He was transferred into the women's facility. So the judge, in dismissing our case, you know, first gave state immunity, even though the state had not asked for it, and then said, you know, the fears expressed here of rape are overstated. And literally she did that. She issued that decision on July 12th, and on July 14th, we went to the preliminary trial for Tremaine Carroll, who was forcibly raped two women in the child shelter facility in January.
And so when she was, when she determined that the fears of rape were overblown, it had already happened.
It had already happened.
Yeah, okay.
And for the record, what was he in prison for originally?
He was a third striker. So he had done some sexual assault. I think he had molested a kid. He had done some violent crimes. Mm-hmm. So he was a third strike felon, believe it or not.
So, yeah, there's no reason to think he would ever do anything like that in a women's prison.
Oh, no, he's perfectly fine. You know, and so, it's astonishing to us. It absolutely gobsmacks the mind, right? You just can't get your head around who thinks this is a good idea. Well, you probably were watching earlier in the summer when Judge Netburn came up for confirmation in the Senate Judiciary Committee, a Biden appointee for federal judge. Were you watching that story?
No, I'm terrified.
Okay. She's out of New York, and this is all happening all at the same time, right? This all happened in July.
Okay.
And so she's up for a federal judge appointee in New York State, and as a magistrate judge, there was a man who wanted to transfer into the women's prisons in New York, and as a magistrate judge, she overrode the Bureau of Prisons, who said, "We don't want him in there. we don't think he's going to be good. It's not going to be a good thing, you know, for the women." She overrode him, and transferred the male in over the Bureau of Prisons' objection to the federal prison. And Senator Cruz, who I normally don't agree with on much on any day, really went after her in her questioning and said, you know, you transferred, and this man had raped an 18-year-old girl and assaulted, like, a 14-year-old boy. And he said, you thought it was a good idea to transfer this guy into the women's prison. And she said, well, she was essentially female, essentially female. How do you be essentially female?
Except for your essentially, yeah. Mm-hmm, that.
Yeah, how do you do that? So we started a campaign at Wolf immediately on seeing that. And what we did was we asked all of our supporters to please email the Senate Judiciary Committee, identify what state you're from, because the votes were not there to defeat her. They were not there. It's 10 Republicans, 11 Democrats on that committee. So if all the Democrats voted in lockstep, she would be confirmed, right? So the votes weren't there. But, you know, we said, please email the Senate Judiciary Committee. Let them know if you're, and many of Wolf's supporters, you can imagine, you know, are leftists. Let them know if you're a Democrat. Let them know that you're a feminist. Let them know what state you live in and explain why this judge needs to be defeated and that she cannot be confirmed. You know, that she, New York didn't even have a law like California's, right? They didn't even have a law mandating this. The feds don't have a law mandating this. So she just did that. She just did that and overrode that, the Bureau of Prisons. So we saw the letters that got sent in. Hundreds of letters got sent in. And Mitch McConnell gave a speech that said, oh, my God, we've got over 100 letters here from, you know, liberal feminists saying that this judge is a problem. We shouldn't confirm her. And it was John Ossoff from Georgia who crossed the line and refused to vote to confirm her. So she was defeated as the first nominee.
What was the excuse for that? I mean, that people were, I mean, I'm assuming that there was some, you know, defense put up like, oh, well, this should never be a disqualifier because of why?
No, nobody, unfortunately, and I, you know, we could spend all day on this conversation, but we have moved into some hyper-partisan era.
Yeah, yeah.
Where,
that's true.
You know, if your party basically says something, you have to
follow
it.
You got to jump off the cliff with them. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, you do. And so a lot of Dems are very afraid to speak up or say, man, I'm not good with this, you know, trans stuff. I'm just not good with, I don't really think we should be doing away with women's sports and women's prisons. I really don't think we should be doing this. Because if they do, they're afraid they're going to get their heads cut off, right? And I've seen similar things on the Republican side, too. You know, it's very hyper-partisan now. And the problem is that what you've got is you've got some people standing next to you with very loud megaphones screaming in your ear as a politician. And you're tempted to believe everyone thinks this way. But our polling is showing, particularly in California, that no, people do not think this way. And that especially parents in schools, right? There's been some walkouts of schools in California where the parents have been mad, you know, that boys are being in the girls' bathrooms now, that they're allowed to just go in there, even if they have nothing to do with being, you know, trans or gender fluid or any of it, that they're just completely allowed in the girls' bathrooms. And so some parents have been very upset about this because there's been some assaults in the bathrooms, as I'm sure you can imagine. You know, and so we are finding a lot of people don't have this sympathy. So I feel like the Democrats really have kind of let themselves be overrun this way and haven't really pushed back and questioned, and they really should have, because the public a lot of times is not with you on this. You know, the other problem we have is, you know, not everybody's aware. You typically find out about this when you have an experience. You know, like your kid, you know, comes home and says, hey, they let the boys in the girls' bathroom now. Or you go to a gym and there's a man, you know, shaving in the gym next to you in the girls' room. You know, and you're like, what are you doing in here? And, you know, we're moving quickly to a place where you're not going to be allowed to ask that question anymore. And that is a very frightening prospect. I mean, that is a very frightening prospect. So, yeah, that Judge Nefram was defeated. And when Ossoff was asked later, you know, why did you vote against her? We knew the emails had had an impact, but he also was doing prison reform work, right? He had taken it on himself to do some legislation and some work on the federal prison system. And when he heard that she was transferring men into the federal, I mean, he wasn't okay with it. And I'm imagining his voters in Georgia also weren't going to be okay with it. So he declined to support her nomination, and that killed it. And that was the very first Biden appointee judge that had not been confirmed.
Oh, dang. I just, you almost can't imagine where this is going to go. Do you think, how about this? Is it trending like more of same or less of same? Because it almost feels like it might have hit its zenith. and is kind of going back the other way?
Is it just wishful thinking? It's hard to gauge sometimes. Yeah, it's hard to gauge. Sometimes I feel like it's turning. So one of the things that makes me hopeful is as Gen Z in particular ages, right, as Gen Z is coming into their upper 20s now, they're walking away from it. And that's interesting. But the kids behind them, of course, are falling fully into it, right? So that's happening. More and more women are waking up to it as a problem. It never was a problem for the men because it wasn't their spaces that were being invaded. And no, women weren't, you know, putting on men's clothes and shoving their way into the men's bathroom. That wasn't a thing, right?
No, but they were kind of screwed in their own way because, you know, I mean, if you're in any kind of a supervisory role, you own a company, you're a manager at a company, something like that, you've got to navigate this minefield that I think we call HR these days. So, you know, nobody actually gets out unscathed.
Nobody does.
Although they're not getting beat up in their own bathroom. So, yeah.
No, you just brought up something really, really salient there. So The Biden administration took two pieces of key legislation that had long protected women's rights. They came out of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and one of them was Title IX, which was sports in school, right? That, you know, girls could not be denied opportunities, or the school would lose federal funding, right, based on their sex. And it was one line piece of legislation, right? That was it, one line. And, you know, the other one that was important was what created the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, right? And that governs all employment law, as you know. And the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission had long ago held in a court case that sexual harassment in the workplace was discrimination against women based on their sex because they were only getting harassed because they were women, right? That was the only reason they would get sexual harassment is because they actually were a woman. So that was the basis. Now, this year, the Biden administration rewrote both of those, and they turned one-line pieces of legislation into like 1,700 pages of garbledygook. And what they did was say you cannot discriminate based on someone's gender identity. And so you're right. Now the small employer, when a customer decides that they're going to go into the women's bathroom and they're a big hulking male, or the employee does, and, you know, or the employee goes to interfere with that, an EEOC case can be opened against them and they can be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And so this is terrible, right? So many states, 26 states have sued to stop the implementation of Title IX. And so 26 states, that is on hold. And another 18 states filed to stop the implementation of the EEOC changes. And so that legislation is also on hold in those. Can you believe we live in a country like that, where half the country is going to follow one set of rules and the other half of the country is not?
Well, where we have abdicated common sense and logic and, you know, I mean, let's face it, everybody knows what the drill is here, you know. It's just a way to break down, I mean, I guess part of the drill is it's just a great way to break down society. You know, we have no rules, nothing is what you think, everything is what we pretend it is, and we're going to wait and tell you what we're pretending until we've decided if we want something from you.
Yeah. Well, if you work for a large company, which I do, you have deep pockets. So you have to have these extensive HR departments that do, and I want to tell you, like weekly training on everything from sexual harassment to who knows what. I mean, and it comes out, and it's mandatory classes you have to take every week. The cost of that alone in lost time and everything else has got to be staggering. You know, when you have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 employees and they all have to take this training, and yeah, maybe it's only 30 minutes times 5,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money you have to spend to protect yourself, because if you're a big company and they look for these companies that have the deep pockets, that chances are, If some claim is made against them, it's never going to go to court. It's going to get settled.
It's like the new version of your wheelchair ramp is a quarter of an inch off.
Yeah, exactly. But only it's much worse than that.
It's way worse than that, because it happens all the time. The trick is, and for people who think, well, you know, we should be protecting all these people, hey, I got a hot tip for you. That's part of your inflation.
Yeah.
That's part of your inflation that isn't going to go away, like, until we get some common sense.
Correct. And then not only do you have to deal with these EEOC rules, many of the large corporations are having another thing happen to them. Again, because you got to be wondering, like, why is this not being publicly debated?
Well, you're not allowed to publicly debate it because you can't talk about it. Hey, but we're gonna talk about it in the next hour. We've got to jump off for the news and get some decaf.
Yeah, let's get back
then
on
we'll
that.
Right back. Let's start with that when we go. Yeah, because you ain't seen nothing yet, says the song. Be right back. Our guest is Sharon Byrne. She's the executive director of Wolf. You're listening to We the People.
.us.